prerequisites to hell in the Word of God, by translated by the word hell. So Mark chapter 9, and look at verse 43. And if thy hand cause thee to stumble, cut it off. It is good for thee to enter into life maimed, rather than having two hands to go into hell, into the unquenchable fire. So this is hell. And if thy foot cause thee to stumble, cut it off. It is good for thee to enter into life halt, rather than having two feet to be cast into hell. Look at verse 47. If thine eye cause thee to stumble, cast it out. It is good for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye, rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. For every one shall be salted with fire. Let us stop there for that scripture. Now, Luke 12. Verse 4. And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will warn you whom you shall fear. Fear him who, after he hath killed, hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. In Matthew 25, in verse 32, before our Lord shall be gathered all the nations, and he separates them as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. Verse 33, and he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And now, look at verse 41. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into the eternal fire, which is prepared for the devil and his angels. And verse 46, and these shall go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. And one scripture in Ezekiel 3, in the Old Testament, Ezekiel 3, verse 11, God is telling Ezekiel, go, get thee to them of the captivity, unto the children of thy people, and speak unto them, and tell them, thus saith the Lord God, whether they will hear, or whether they will forbear. Verse 16, and it came to pass at the end of 7 days that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thy hand. Yet, if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way. He shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die, because thou hast not given him warning. He shall die in his sin, and his righteous deeds which he hath done shall not be remembered, but his blood will I require at thy hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man that the righteous sin not, and he doth not sin, he shall surely live, because he took warning, thou hast delivered thy soul. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, again, we have read these passages of Scripture that contain such gravity. Our Father, let us know that if we are able to read, and thy Spirit doth work upon our spirits, then how different would our outlook be upon our fellow man. And we pray that this is what shall happen to us tonight. Thy Spirit must accomplish this. So, by thy Spirit working upon him who speaks and those who listen, accomplish what thou wilt this night as we consider this matter about hell. We thank you for the blessings of the day, and again, an opportunity to open the Word of God and hear it preached. We thank you for that. So let us be clean vessels. We confess our sins, be faithful and just, to forgive and cleanse as you promised, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. This is what you have to understand. I read Ezekiel 3 last because you may think that the world is filled with those who are perishing, and if they perish, it's their own fault and no responsibility of yours. But what does Ezekiel chapter 3 tell us concerning Ezekiel and the nation of Israel? It speaks about righteous men and sinful men, and God says to Ezekiel, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, tell them, warn them. He said, I've set you as a watchman. And he said, now, if there is a sinful man, and he continues in his sin, and you warn him not, he shall die in his sin. But his blood will I require at thy hand. Do you believe that? You say, do you mean that I am responsible? God has said it. He said, he's a sinner. He continues in his sin, and you gave him no warning. It says, because you gave him no warning, he shall die in his sin, but his blood will I require at thy hand. If you believe that, what would be sure to do every time you had an opportunity, a genuine opportunity, to tell a man about the life to come? What would you do? I know you would, but you don't believe that. You think that you can keep your salvation to yourself, that this gospel that we are told to go into all the world and preach it to every creature, you say, if I do not preach it, I'm saved. There is no responsibility upon me and no consequences for not telling them to flee from the wrath to come. But from what God told Ezekiel, he said there is. And another thing, righteous individuals, you have to warn them to continue. As the Savior said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. It says, if you see a righteous man, and he's going to depart from his righteousness, and you do not warn him to continue in the straight and narrow, it said, that righteous man shall perish, but his blood will I require at my hand. You don't believe that. Because if so, it says we are to admonish one another and to speak to one another daily, because if we do not, God says, I will require it at thy hand. And so this makes the matter extremely grave. Understand, It does not mean that you shall lose your salvation, but it means that the consequences are so severe, it's like unto this. In the illustration that I gave you from Ezekiel, it's not if you warn a man about going to hell, but it's warning a man about physical life and physical death. And God can require that. So there is the sin, not only of doing what is evil, but refraining from doing that which is good. And God has said, you are ambassadors for Christ. And we have the truth of God. Let your light so shine among men. We are the light of the world and we are the salt of the world. And it's our responsibility to tell them the truth of God. And I have wondered and I have thought, because I've made it a necessity in my life, that if I meet you on the street, I'm not like some, and yet, when some do speak to everyone that they meet, whether it's an opportune time or inopportune, they will tell them about heaven and hell. I cannot say that I've always done that, but I do not know of anyone whom I have been around, and there has been an opportunity, and I've refrained to tell them about heaven and hell. Can you say that? The Apostle Paul could say, my hands are free from the blood of all men. And I'm so thankful this comes to mind. A year or so back, I go walking, and as I was walking, there was another man walking up the street. And as we passed, I said, hello. And he stopped and looked. He said, who is that? And I told him who I was. He said, I don't know you. He said, I'm almost blind. I said, you are? I said, how old are you? And he mentioned he was 90-some years of age. I said, well then, it's time for you to get right with God. Words to that effect. You see, I took that opportunity. Never seen the man before. I was passing him, and he was passing me, but the opportunity came. And when I told him that, or gave some sort of testimony, he said, yes. And then he said, who are you? And I told him who I was, and he walked on his way. And I do not know if I ever saw that man again, but I'm so thankful that I spoke to him, because later I said, did you know this man named? And I mentioned his name, and this person said, yes, I know that man. He's 93 years old, and he just died the other day. A short while after I witnessed to the man, he died. Now, think, how would I have felt if this man had been there and I had had an opportunity that presented itself to witness to him, and I did not witness to that man. And I'm so thankful I thought about all my neighbors. One man, again, he was in my neighborhood, and I went to his home, and I did not speak to him the words. It did not present itself, but I took a tract and gave it to the man, telling him the way of salvation. The next thing I knew, the man was dead. All the neighbors in my neighborhood I've tried to speak to. There is one that I've tried to speak to. He will not listen. Others that I've tried to speak to, and I've said to the man, is there anything you want to know about the Word of God? No, no, John, nothing. And so, if that man perishes, are my hands pure from his blood? Of course they are. But if there is one, and I have the opportunity, but have not witnessed to him, I feel a responsibility. Here is one to whom I could have witnessed, but I failed to witness. For this reason, I don't believe that you believe in hell. If your neighbor's house were on fire, and he was asleep in bed, what would you do? Tell me, what would every one of you do? Would you pound on the door? Would you scream and tell him to wake up? His house is on fire. I think every one of you would. And yet, something worse than that, I've read to you from the Bible, is true, that when that man dies, when he goes into the nether world, there is a hell to which he goes, and the going to that place of torment is worse than cutting your hand off or your foot off, or tearing out your eye. But you don't believe that. I know you don't. Because if you did, and if I did, we would warn these individuals. I pray for them. So at least do this. If you believe what I've read about hell, then let it grip your heart and let it cause you to be an effective witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, so that you can say, this man did not listen to what I said, but Paul could say, I am free from the blood of all men. Herein do I exercise myself before God, to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward man. So let us take that responsibility upon us, because if we do not tell them, who shall tell them? It is possible for the Spirit of God to speak to a man's heart and be directed to the Word of God and can read the Word of God and be saved. But if that were what the Lord wanted, he would say, just distribute Bibles. But here are people that are reading the Bible. It's in Acts chapter 8. You remember that Ethiopian eunuch? And he's reading Isaiah 53. Who could read a better portion of that about the sufferings of Christ? And yet he's reading it, and Philip comes up to him and he says to him, do you understand what you're reading? And he says, how can I except some man help me? Some man teach me what this means. So a man can have the Bible and be reading it, but he needs someone to teach him. We have the Holy Spirit that teaches us inwardly, but we also need human beings that teach us outwardly. And that is what God wants us to do. And so, because of that, I'm trying to impress upon you from the few scriptures that we read, the horror and the reality of hell. And if you look at these references, please look on the right-hand column at 1067. You see 1067 in the middle? You have Hades at the first, and you have Gehenna in the second. The big number is 1067. All right. You have 12 references to Gehenna. And of those 12 references, who spoke 11 of them? Who? The Lord Jesus. Nobody else spoke about hell in the Gospels. This is the word Gehenna, not Hades. The Lord Jesus was the only one who spoke about hell in the Gospels. And there's only one other person who even mentions the word hell, and that's James, and he mentions it incidentally. It speaks about the tongue, and the tongue is set on fire of hell, but he doesn't mention it the way that the Lord Jesus does. And this is why, and I'm so glad of this, that when you tell people about hell, and they say, why, it's something that man made up. Who is the only one who ever speaks about hell in the Gospel? Who is the only one? The Savior. And how many times does he speak about it? If there are 12 references and only one of them is not his, how many times does he speak about it? Can you do any of that calculation? 11 times our Savior warns about hell. You say 11 times? Now, not only that, but I copied on mine the other references to hell, and I did not copy them all, but he speaks about hell fire, everlasting fire, unquenchable fire, and the furnace of fire. Who do you think it is that speaks about all those things? The Lord Jesus. Isn't that remarkable? And yet, people would like us to think that the Lord Jesus is so meek and gentle and mild, why, he would never teach the doctrine of hell and torment and endless fire. He would never, he's the only one who ever taught it. Isn't that remarkable? All these people that are saying Jesus would never teach it, I challenge them, show me anybody else that taught about Gehenna in the Gospel other than the Lord Jesus. You say, well, nobody did. For this reason, two things I want you to understand about hell. Now, you see Hades at the very top in the right-hand column. That is the realm of the unseen world. That's the unseen, where it's another world where when a man dies, he departs this life and goes into Hades. But the final destiny of the wicked is Gehenna. Now, concerning this Gehenna, the portion that I read to you, in Matthew 25 is this Gehenna, because it is called by other names. Depart ye cursed into everlasting fire. Now that is Gehenna. That's another way. When it says the furnace of fire, that is Gehenna. When it says the lake of fire, that is Gehenna. And the Lord Jesus is the only one who uses this word, and he's the one who constantly gives us warning. Tell me, could any man ever accuse the Lord Jesus about not warning him to flee from the wrath in the life to come? How, when 11 times and then 5 other times, he warns them about the furnace of fire, the unquenchable fire, the eternal fire, he has told them again and again and again. And therefore, if people read the gospel and they find it all these times, these 16 occurrences, and I haven't given you all of them. There are other references indirectly to hell than these, but our Lord has told us no less than 16 times, we will never stand before the Lord Jesus and say, you never told me. Now, he can look at you and me and say, you never told me. But nobody's ever going to point to the Lord Jesus and say, why didn't you tell me about this? For this reason, a man told me once, he did not accuse me, but he said it in such a way that I've never forgotten. Do you realize this? That once you have trusted Christ as Savior, you have eternal salvation and that you'll never perish. But at the same time, do you realize that if you've trusted Christ as Savior and you go back into sin and continue in sin, he can make your life hell on earth? Do you realize that he will do that? You say, how could it be? That's what he's talking about in Matthew chapter 18. Here is this servant that has been forgiven of a great debt. And then he finds a fellow servant of his and he will not forgive him. And the Lord Jesus says, you wicked servant. He said, I forgave you all your debt. And here is one of your servants and you will not forgive him his debt. He says, what I'm doing, I'm delivering you to the tormentors till you pay the last mite. You realize that some of you are not doing what Christ tells you to do. And you are not going to suffer in hell, but you'll go through hell on earth until you pay the last mite of the consequences of failing to do what God tells you to do. That is why when we finish the Lord's Prayer and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil and so forth. And then it says this, for if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive your trespasses. And when you pray, forgive us our debts, you must say this, as we forgive our debtors. When you ask God to forgive, you have to tell him, and this is what it literally says, as we have already forgiven our debtors. I cannot go if I hold in my heart that grudge, and I will not forgive my brother, but I say to the Father, I want you to forgive my debts. You have to add, as I have already forgiven my debtors. And what this brother told me this, when I went and told him the consequences of continuing in sin, not repenting, not having restoration of soul, he came up and he said, why did no one ever tell me this before? You see, he had been taught that we have everlasting life, we'll never perish. Why, if God loves us, he'll never do anything to us. Why, he has told you, the Lord Jesus has told you, that he will put you through hell on earth until you pay the very last mite if you do not carry out his will. And this man became concerned, and he said, why has no one ever told me? Well, thank God I told him, and I told all the others as well. And so if you ask me, if I have trusted Christ as Savior, is heaven a guarantee? Indeed it is. But you'll go through hell on earth if we look at it in the light of Matthew chapter 18. But what I'm afraid is this, that some of you look upon yourself, and you say, no, I'm saved, but I don't do the things that I should. What do you think it means in the Bible when Peter tells us to make our calling and election sure? Do you know what that means? The only way that you can make your calling and election sure is by growing in grace and in the knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He says, now you have virtues. He said, to this virtue, you are to add this virtue and this virtue and this virtue. He says, if you do this, you will guarantee a rich entrance into the kingdom of God. And so that's the only way you can make your calling and election sure. You cannot say, well, I called on the name of the Lord and I believe the Bible. The only way that you can make your calling and election sure is by living the life that God expects you to live. And do not come and say, oh yes, I've trusted Christ as Savior. I have salvation. I'm sure of going to heaven. I say, let me see the life that you live. That's the only way that you can make your calling and election sure. Because the Savior says this. He says to those that had believed him, it says, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And the ones to whom he's speaking say to him, what do you mean we'll be free? The Son will make you free. We've never been in bondage to any man. And the next thing they're saying to him, these are the ones that had believed him, they said, you've got a demon. And the Lord Jesus said, you are of your father, the devil. And so here are you, and you say, why, I believe in Jesus. And the Lord Jesus will look at you if you continue in a life of sin, and he'll say, you are of your father, the devil. You get assurance by knowing what God's word says, and you believe it. But at the same time, if you have believed the word of God, then the Spirit of God works in you. The steps of a good man are ordered, directed of the Lord. Though he stumble, he shall not be utterly cast down. And I see those that have a life of stumbling, but I do not see them being lifted up and repenting and being restored to the Lord. Then you may say, well, oh, I've trusted Christ, and so I'm eternally secure. It may be that you are not saved at all. It may be that you are one who has believed in a way that is not the way of God, and you have no fruits to prove it. The Savior said, by their fruits you shall know them. By their fruits you shall know them, and by your own fruits shall you know yourself. So I mention that because our Savior is talking about some that are on his right hand and some that are on his left hand. And the reason they're on his left hand, he doesn't mention faith at all, but he mentions work. And it says, the only thing that counts is faith working through love. And so you've got a faith that doesn't work. You have a love that doesn't work, and therefore, God doesn't tell me to believe to accept your testimony. And if I were living in sin, and you were to ask me if I was saved, I think I would hesitate to tell you that I was saved. And so remember these passages for this reason. One of the most horrible things on earth would be this, for you to think that you have superficially believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, I believe. Yes, yes, I remember. I heard it and I believed it. And so that's it. No, I don't consistently go to church or pray. I don't study. No, I don't do all of these things, but I believed in Christ. It would be the most horrible thing for you ever to discover in your life when you stood before the Lord for the books to be opened. And he would look diligently with an omniscient eye, and your name wouldn't be found. But you would say, and listen to what some say, Lord, Lord, look, you taught in our streets. We ate and drank with you. Don't you understand all of those things? And he'll say, I never knew you. Isn't that a terrible thing? And so while we're talking about hell, what you have to do is to be sure that you're not going there. The Apostle Paul said this. He said, there's one thing that bothers me. After I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. You can't be saved and lost, but you can be professed to be saved and remain lost. So just remember that when we're talking about hell. Now, since we are mentioning hell, and I'm talking about the eternal consequences of sin, the lake of fire, we learn the origins of it, and we learn the one who told us about it, and the one who created it. It says in John chapter 1, all things were made by him, the word of God, our Savior. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that hath been made. And so this is what it says in Matthew 25. Depart, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. And so if all things were made by him, heaven and hell, the lake of fire, who made the lake of fire? The Lord Jesus. Who is the one who tells us about the lake of fire? The Lord Jesus. And so you say, our Savior would never tell us that. He would never say such a thing. He's the one that made this hell that you don't believe he would ever tell you about. He is the one who made that lake of fire for the devil and his angels. And so draw a conclusion from that. Did he make it for sinful man? No. But he is going to put it to two uses. He made it for the devil and his angels, and he is going to cause you who have not trusted Christ as Savior, depart you cursed into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. And so the horrible thing is this. This satanic being and all his hosts that followed him in disobedience are going to be in that lake of fire, and you're going to be there with them. It's the most horrible thing that a man can think of. And it's so horrible that if there were any way that I could escape it, and some men have tried to escape it, to deny it in every possible way, if they read all these references as you do and think them through, they will never take that approach again, that Jesus would never teach such a doctrine as this. He's the only one who ever teaches such a doctrine as this. And the sad thing is this. He not only teaches the doctrine, but he is the one that prepared hell, the lake of fire. He prepared it for the devil and his angels, and he says to you, he says, you are going there if you do not trust me as your Savior. That's what he warns about. He says in Luke chapter 12, he says, I'm warning you. He says, I warn you to be afraid of him, and I do fear God. Not reverential trust, I fear God. Because God is the one in whose hand is my destiny. He says, fear him who after he has killed you, your physical life is in the hand of God, and your spiritual destiny is in the hand of God. He says, fear him who after he has killed has power to cast into hell, Gehenna. And I take that to be the Father, but at the same time, it can be the Lord Jesus Christ. Because who in Matthew 25 is the one sitting upon the throne that's the king and says, depart from me, you cursed into everlasting fire? You say it's the Lord Jesus Christ. So it probably is the Father, but it could very well be the Lord Jesus Christ. The Savior says in John chapter 5, the Father judges no man, but he's committed all judgment unto the Son. And therefore, when you see judgment occurring, it will be the Son judging in behalf of the Father. And so it is the Savior who judges in Matthew chapter 25, and I take it the one who's sitting upon that great white throne will be the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus is he who does all the judging, and he does it for his Father. All right, think of this now. It is he who taught us about hell, the lake of fire, the eternal fire, the unquenchable fire. It is he who made that lake of fire, and he is the one who died on the cross to save us from going to that lake of fire. Now let me ask you this. Do you know how to be saved? You say yes. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Yes. Christ said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Yes. Well, tell me this. You know what you have to do to get to heaven. Tell me what you have to do to go to hell. What do you have to do, Bobby? No. What do you have to do to go to hell? Nothing. Do nothing, and I assure you that you will go to hell. It says in Hebrews 2, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? David said this concerning himself, I was born in sin and shapen in iniquity. You are born a sinner. You are not born a citizen of heaven. Do you realize this? And here is what some who are so strong on election teach, and they fail to understand, that I was chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. Well then, you've never been on your way to hell. Why? You've never been under the wrath of God. This is what Paul says in Ephesians 2. It speaks about the grace of God. And so let's look at it. I want you to see it. So few people have ever understood about a man and the condition of his soul until he trusts Christ as Savior. Look in Ephesians chapter 2. It says in verse 1, and you did he make alive. The word quicken, when it speaks about the quick and the dead, it means the living and the dead. And you did he make alive when you were dead in your trespasses and sins. And so when a man is born alive, he's dead in his trespasses and his sins, wherein you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the sons of disobedience, among whom we also all once lived, in the lusts of our flesh, doing the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. The Apostle Paul says, until he got saved, this elect man, he was under the wrath of God, and he was alienated from God, he says, even as the rest. So please look. It says, the Spirit now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom we also once lived, in the lusts of our flesh, doing the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath. And so even though you are in among the elect, until you lay hold on Christ as Savior, it says, you by nature are a child of wrath, even as the rest. But this is what is so beautiful. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. And so, even though you were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, until what time? By grace are you saved through faith, until that time, you are under the wrath of God, and you are among the sons of disobedience, and this is what some would never confess, but you are. And those who are that way, notice, some who are in that condition, if they do not trust Christ as Savior, they remain in that condition. And you were born that way, and you live that way, because you go astray as soon as you are born, speaking lies, and you follow after your father, the devil. And so that is why God warns us, and that is why we have to tell men. Now, turn to Revelation. I want you to see this. I want you to see who's going to be in hell. In Revelation chapter 21, and let's look at verse 7. I can tell you exactly who's going to be in the lake of fire, because God tells us. Verse 7, 21:7. He that overcometh shall inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But for the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and fornicators and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part shall be in the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now, who are the inhabitants of the lake of fire? I've read you some. Look at verse 27. It says, concerning the holy city, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything unclean, or he that maketh an abomination and a lie, but only they that are written in the Lamb's book of life. Now, look at verse 24 in chapter 22. 22 verse 14. 22:14. Blessed are they that wash their robes, that they may have the right to come to the tree of life, and may enter in by the gates into the city, without of the dogs, and the sorcerers, and the fornicators, and the murderers, and the idolaters, and everyone that loveth and maketh a lie. And so now, do you know who's on the outside? Yes. And if you're on the outside, you're on the inside of the lake of fire. One thing, and I want you to see this, turn to Luke 12. Luke 12. All who do not have Christ as Savior go to the same place. There is absolutely no different place to which they go. But let's read in Luke chapter 12, verse 45. But if that servant shall say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and the maid servants, and to eat and to drink and to be drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he expecteth not, and in an hour when he knoweth not, and he shall cut him asunder, and appoint his portion with the unfaithful. And that servant, who knew his Lord's will, and made not ready, nor did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not, and did things worthy of stripes, shall be beaten with few stripes. So thank God for this, that not all sinners are going to be equally punished in this lake of fire. It speaks about those that knew and had opportunity and did not, they shall be beaten with many stripes. And those who did not know, and this is what is frightening, did not know and did things worthy of judgment, shall be beaten with few stripes. And so if you know and don't do, you'll be beaten with what, Tom? And if you don't know and don't do it, what will you be beaten with? It says few. Exactly. And so you're going to be beaten whether you know or whether you don't know. And for that reason, I want to go and tell men, because I believe that a man who stands before God would rather say, at least I knew the way of salvation, than to say, I never knew the way of salvation and go to hell. But we can't go into that now, because I'm looking, and it's 8 o'clock, and time is gone, so we'll have to pray. Our Father, we are thankful that someone warned us to flee from the wrath to come. The one who did it most was the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are thankful that so many of us here have heeded that warning, and had fled for refuge to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners. Our Father, we consider these passages, and let us know that we who teach the doctrine of everlasting life, let us know that so often we fall back upon it, and we deceive ourselves to the deceitfulness of sin, in saying, yes, we are Christians, and even though I live an imperfect life, why, it's just a Christian living an imperfect life. Let us consider the possibility that we are those like the ones that Christ spoke to and said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. Let us not be outward, professed disciples, but let us continue in his word and be disciples indeed. And our Father, let us make our calling and election sure. Bless these truths to our hearts, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The meeting is over. And can you say this, that I did not warn you about hell? All right. My hands are pure from all your blood.